We are continuing on now in our series. Our series being that Jesus is the Lord of all of our lives, every area of our life. And as we come to this, let's pray. Lord, we call you Lord because you are our master. You are in charge of our lives. And you've given us your truth and your word to lead us through life. And I pray that your word would guide us and lead us in the time that we have left here today. We pray this in your name. Amen. I know this guy who, he's somewhere between an atheist and an agnostic. He's either doesn't believe in God or he's not too sure about God, not sure if there even is one. And he said recently that when he was a kid growing up in the church, that he accepted Christ, he put his faith in Jesus as a five-year-old. And he said, so no matter what happens, I'm covered anyway. And he said, because there's no expiration on that, right? And there's a lot to get through here with this guy, to talk with him about. But when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are giving your life to him, all of your life. It's not just saying a prayer once, a magic prayer, and all of a sudden, you know, you don't have to do anything else. It's like that kind of logic would be like this. Well, you know, I got married 20 years ago, I said I do, and I haven't seen my wife since. No, you're making a commitment to live with that person, just as you're making a commitment to live with Jesus when you give your life to him and make him the Lord of your life. And when you accept Jesus as your Lord, you're accepting him as both Savior and Lord. It's all of Jesus. He died for your sins, so he's your Savior, but you're making him Lord of your life. And that's what this series is about. Every area of our life, we want Jesus to be the Lord. And the first week we talked about this, we talked about work. So in our work life, Jesus is Lord of the way that you should go about doing your business, whether it's at home, whether it's in an office, whether your job is outside, every area of your life. And today we're going to talk about a big area of our lives. And it's the topic that Jesus talked about more than anything else when he came here. And that's money. Money is a big area of your life. And if you want to start an argument with someone, start talking about their money. It is the number one, statistically, the number one source of conflict in marriages. And that's across the board. I know that there are other things that people have conflict about, but statistically, because money is very near and dear to us, it has to do with our livelihood and providing for our needs. And so today we're going to talk about money and what the Bible says about our money. And, you know, when you hear this message, you might be thinking, well, this is going to be a message about giving and giving more to the church or something like that. And here's what I want to tell you. I want to tell you my understanding of what I should be saying to you about your giving to the church. And really, it goes to a passage in 2 Corinthians 9, 2 Corinthians 9:7. And this is not the main purpose of our message today, but I just want to say this. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, each one should give what he's decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So think about it this way, not reluctantly under compulsion. So if I compel you, if I lay it on thick, if I give you a guilt trip, if I tell you we gotta meet a budget or there's other reasons that you should give, and then you give in response to that message, then I've compelled you. And you've given under compulsion. And I believe we have both sinned. That is my understanding of it. Here's what I believe should happen. We are all filled with the Holy Spirit. And as we read God's word, and as I preach on God's word, and we see the greatness of Jesus, God will lay it on our hearts to give. He will do that. I want you to give willingly, cheerfully, because Jesus gave first. And that is my understanding as I read Scripture. And then people ask questions, well, what about tithing? Does the Bible talk about that? Yes, the Bible talks about that. It's specifically an Old Testament thing the people of Israel did, but they started with the tithe. That's 10%. They gave much more over the course of the year. It was probably closer to 20 or 30%. But then we see in the New Testament someone selling a field, Barnabas, and giving 100%. Now people think, well, tithing sounds a little bit better. 100% is a lot, right? But we now have the Holy Spirit living in us, guiding and leading us to give to the Lord, to give to people who are in need. But that really isn't the main point today. The main point is to look at the Bible and how the Bible says we should view our money, because then giving will take care of itself. If we have the proper view of God and the proper view of money, then that will take care of itself. But the question is this: why does Jesus talk so much about money? Why is that such a big thing? Here's why I think it is. I think it's because people are drawn to it instead of God. It becomes a God substitute. Now think about it for a second. I'm going to draw this analogy. Some of you may drink diet drinks, right? NutraSweet, Splenda, whatever all those other things are. And let's just face it. Nothing tastes as good as sugar, right? Sugar tastes good, right? It's why when kids are out trick-or-treating, they're not asking for broccoli, right? They want the sweet, right? And as much as you can convince yourself that the diet drink tastes as good as the regular drink, it doesn't. I mean, come on, it doesn't. It's a cheap substitute. And I recently had a nurse tell me this when I went in for a physical over the summer, of what happens to your body when you take that stuff in. You take that stuff into your body, and your body releases insulin to break down the sugar. But then the insulin can't find the sugar. And your body craves sugar. So it makes you crave more sugar. You know that? And it's putting chemicals in your body, so it's a cheap substitute. God is the real thing. God is sweet. And so I want to show you something up here about what God offers to us. God offers us security, not only in this world. He promises to provide for us in this world. He tells us he will provide for us, but also eternal life. He offers us hope. It says the Holy Spirit's been given to us, therefore we have hope. In Romans 5 it says, and joy. Jesus says, I have come that you may have joy and your joy may be full. God wants us to have joy. What does money offer? Well, money offers security in this life, to a certain extent, because your money can go away. Your investments can fall apart. And it's really almost a false sense of security, but it's only temporary. Hope is offered through money, but only in this world, because you can't take it with you, right? You don't have hope for money in this world. I mean, in the next world. And what about joy? Does money offer you joy? Well, I think money offers you fun. For now, you can go on nice trips. You can buy a nice car. You can do fun things with money. But that's different from joy. Joy that lasts. Joy that happens in the midst of difficult times. We can have joy and not be having fun, right? But this is just a cheap substitute. This is Splenda, right? Money is Splenda. Right? It doesn't really help you in the long term. What about these other things here? And there's so much more that God offers. I could make a list that just would never end. God offers us peace. And this isn't peace dependent on the circumstance. This is peace that passes understanding. Peace that you can have in the middle of a difficult time. Does money offer you peace? I don't think so. Maybe you'll have peace of mind, or you think you do, if you have a big amount of money in the bank. Maybe you can say that. What about love? I don't want to be the pastor that quotes the Beatles, but money cannot buy you love. It can't. Money doesn't love you. Jesus loves you. God loves you. So money is a cheap substitute that people chase after. And when I say money, I don't mean just money. I mean possessions and the things that money can buy. So there we have just kind of a basic chart. This is what we should be chasing after, who we should be chasing, and we shouldn't be chasing after money in the same way. We need money to live, but really, if we go back up to security, God provides the money anyway. So he's the provider. He provides us with security. So that brings us to our passage for today, and the passage is 1 Timothy chapter 6. And in the passage, Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's saying that some people have pretended to be godly so that they can gain money. But he says in verse 6, this is 1 Timothy 6, verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation, into trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So just want to look at that first verse again, verse 6. Godliness with contentment is great gain. So what's better, to have a lot of money, but to be always stressed and always worried and always troubled, or to have less money and to be content? It's an obvious answer. To learn to be content with what you have, what a blessing it is. How much better it is to live that way than to always be worried and to always be chasing money. And verse 7 says this, for we brought nothing into the world, we can take nothing out of it. We come into this world with nothing. We're going to leave this world. We can't take anything with us. You know, they say that the Egyptians used to bury certain riches and things for their kings for the next world. Well, guess what happened? People went in and stole all the stuff out of the pyramids, right? Because they couldn't take it with them. We can't take anything we have with us to the next world. It's temporary. Just like the list I showed you up here, money offers you temporary blessing, temporary things. God offers you eternal and lasting blessing. And then verse 8, I find verse 8 to be really challenging. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Does that challenge you? Are you content with food and clothing? Think about that for a second. Now, when we think about food and clothing, you might think, well, I need a job, I need to have a car, my job requires that I need to have a phone. Okay, maybe you need some other things. We need a refrigerator to put the food in. But can we be content with just basics, with just the basics in life, without going beyond that? Can we be content with that? I just found this challenging this week, because I have things I don't need. I have things that I want, but there are things that I have in my home that I don't really need. And as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about my Aunt Muriel. And Aunt Muriel is a wonderful Christian woman. She's also known for being very frugal. She used to make her own ice cream sandwiches from scratch. The ice cream and then cookies to put on top and then put them in the freezer. I think it was cheaper to do it that way. And I remember her telling me one thing, though. She was married. She and her husband, my Uncle Doug, were married for 50 or 60 years. I don't know how long before they died. But when Uncle Doug got his first job, they lived on that. And then when he got a raise, she told me this once. She said, well, when he got the raise, we decided to keep living at that lower level and save the extra money. Because we could live at that level. We had proven it. We could do it. So we decided to put that money away. And I thought, wow, what a great way to live. As you get extra money, you just keep living below your means instead of above your means. Do we have that attitude, the verse 8 attitude? Being content with just the basics. And then we go on here to talk about really the main point, the big point of the passage. It says, people who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and in many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. As I think about that, I want you to notice something. It doesn't say money is evil. It says the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Money by itself isn't good and it isn't bad. It's just a thing, right? Like anything else. And it's what you do with it. We give money to the Lord here. That's a good use of money. Money helps the building. The money helps ministry. The money helps missionaries. That's good. You use money to buy food. That's good. You use money to help people. That's great. Last night, Christy and I and the kids went out to eat, and the waitress came over. We were partway through our meal, and we said, well, a gentleman said that he paid for your dinner. It's free. I thought, wow, that's great. There are a few people in the place that I knew, but I couldn't figure out who it was that done that. That was a very good thing. So if you want to do a good thing with your money, buy me some dinner. No, just kidding. Give. be generous. And I hope to have the chance to pay it forward someday. That got me to thinking, that was a generous act. I want to do that for someone else, right? Spur each other on to good works, good deeds. It's an encouraging thing when that happens. But money by itself isn't bad. It's what you do with it that can be good or can be bad. Or anything you buy with money can be good or can be bad. I hear people today saying technology is bad. And I think, really? Your phone in your house is bad? Your car is bad? Because that's technology, right? No, just the new stuff. That's bad, right? Facebook's bad. I hear people say that. I see people who put Bible verses on Facebook every day. Is that bad? Nope. I've shared pictures of my kids with distant family members. Is that bad? I think that's a really good thing. But when you go and you tear down another person and you stab them in the back and you just say terrible things and you slander, that's bad. That's bad when you do that. It's what you do with a thing that's bad. So money isn't bad. It's the love of it. It's putting the things that were in the right-hand column in the wrong place. All right? Money's just a tool that we use. And think about what it says here. The desire to get rich leads us into all different kinds of temptations. Let me ask you this. As you look at wealthy people, as you look at celebrities, actors, athletes, musicians, let me ask you a question. Are their lives sinless and trouble-free? Okay. Well, no, and you know what? You know what? Not really different from any of our lives, but except they always get in the news. When I do something dumb, it doesn't get on the news. But when they do, you read about it in all the magazines, you read about it online. But having more money doesn't make you a better person. And as a matter of fact, it actually gives you access to do more bad things sometimes. And it says you pierce yourself with many griefs here. So here's the question. What is your source of life and joy and peace? Is it the desire for things? Is it money? Or is it God? Is it the Lord? Is it the desire to follow Him and go after Him? And you know, as I think about, as we come into Christmas and all the different things that go along with it, a lot of good things that go along with Christmas these days, I want you to think about something. God shows us a great parallel here as we look in Luke chapter 2. He shows a king in Rome issuing a decree that all the world should be taxed. And here you have this picture of this guy sitting on a throne in Rome, Caesar. And then you have a picture of a baby in swaddling cloths in a feeding trough. That's wealth right there. In the feeding trough is wealth, is glory, is greatness. God looks at things a lot different than the way the world does. We should look at things the way God looks at things. It's not about the things that you can buy. It's about the things that are eternal. So here's this whole thing summed up today. If God is your Lord, if Jesus is your Lord, then money is a tool that you can use to serve Him. And that's it. It should be nothing more. So you can ask yourself the question, Lord, how should I spend my money? And that's my encouragement to you this Christmas season, and it's my encouragement to you all the rest of the year. Lord, what do you want me to do with my money? How can I use my money? And it's actually not my money, it's all His money. Let me rephrase it. Lord, how can I use your money in a way that honors you and brings glory to you? That is my encouragement to you today. Let's pray. Lord, we know that the universe is yours. It belongs to you. And Lord, I pray that we would use the resources you've given to us, whether it's money or goods, possessions. I pray that we would use all these things in a way that honors you and serves you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.